Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning? Amen. What a privilege it is to get to be back in church. Had a wonderful time here Wednesday night. The word of the Lord was just so precious, and the Spirit of the Lord would just come down in our midst, and I'm just so thankful for that, and I know you are too. It's not you're just not here to see somebody. You're not here just because you didn't have nowhere else to go, but you're here for to be a blessing to somebody and to receive from the Lord for yourself. Is that right? That's our purpose for being here. Look at somebody. Just go ahead and look at them a little bit for me this morning. Just look at somebody. Tell them you're glad to see them at the house of the Lord today. Brothers, good to see all of you. Sisters, God bless you. Good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Now let's stand to our feet, if you would, this morning. Turn around and give somebody a smile. Give them a fist bump. If you're brave enough, give them a shake of the hand. Tell them you're glad to see them in church this morning. Praise the Lord. I want you to help me sing a song here. All right, I'm recruiting help here this morning. I think about everybody that tries to lead singing around here is got croup or got a bad voice, or mine's 30% this morning. That's an all-time high, I believe. But we're going to do the best we can to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. What a privileged people we are. What an opportunity God has given you and me to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, I'm telling you, the church world in general, a lot of good people in them churches and those that goes to those assemblies. A lot of good people, probably believing everything they know to believe. But aren't you glad that God has opened your eyes to see what you see? Don't make us no better than anybody. I just appreciate His grace. I appreciate His favor this morning, that He would open my eyes and let me see the truth for this hour. Do you love Him with all your heart? Give Him a good hand clap of praise this morning. My God is real. He's real in my soul. If you don't mind to just stand with me for just a few minutes. If you need to be seated, you can. But we got just a few prayer requests. Sister Irene Pierce asking us to pray for her. Been dealing with a terrible cough and weakness that just won't go away. Scheduled for a long heart valve test in a few days. But if the Lord don't give me some strength to get rid of this cough, I don't know if I can go through with it. Love and appreciate all of you. So we just commit that to the Lord, that God would be mindful of her. Brother Donnie William Robinson called asking for prayer. So we just commit that unto the Lord. Ask God to move on his behalf. Sister Linda Jablonski wants us to remember her mother, Sister Joanne, still very weak in body, just praying that God would give her strength. And Sister Linda has an unspoken prayer request she'd like for us to pray about. Sister Deanna Glenn wants prayer for a daughter and granddaughter. They're both sick with COVID, so let's remember that prayer request today. Donna Rogers is asking that we continue to pray for her husband, Rick. He is tormented by evil spirits and desires deliverance. We want to commit that to the Lord this morning. Brother Andrew Kennedy, sick and in body, needs a healing touch today. Let's pray for him. Sister Wanda Batman wants to thank the church for praying for Nick. The vital signs continue to improve. He made a tremendous turnaround on Wednesday night after prayer. They want to praise the Lord for that, so we thank God for that testimony. Sister Linda Maxwell says a friend has requested that we pray for God's protection over her family, and God will bring them home safe and sound. Let's pray for that need today. Brother Bobby Hayden wants us to remember his brother, Steve Hayden, and also his mother. They both have COVID, not doing very well at this time, so we want to remember that prayer request. Prayer request for Sister Connie Cook, trouble breathing. We'll remember her in prayer. Want to have a prayer for Sister Jan Hall, fighting cancer, trouble swallowing and breathing. Let's remember that prayer request. Please pray for Ellis Harmon. He has COVID, very sick. Joe Short sends that in, so let's pray for that need. Sister Faye Yance wants us to pray for her daughter-in-law after the effects of lung cancer. She is very, very sick. Thank you, and may God bless. So we want to commit that to the Lord this morning. Then we have a card here from Brother Harvey and Sister Shirley Lunsford. Thank you, Happy Valley Church, for the cards, the calls, the text, and all the great food. May God bless you. We're very proud to be a part of the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. So good to be back in church. Blessings, Brother Harvey and Sister Shirley. Well, we're proud to have them in our assembly, aren't we? Let's give the Lord a good hand this morning. Amen. Let me make a couple of announcements. The Louisiana Youth Camp bus list is in the library. If you're attending the Louisiana Youth Camp and want transportation, your name must be on the list. Thank you very much. Brother West sends that in, so remember that. That list is over in the library, so get your name on the list. The teen and the young adult Bible study in the fellowship hall, that's a week from tomorrow night. Is that right, Brother West? From 6 until 8. So remember that. That's a week from tomorrow night. And we made mention here Wednesday night, the memorial service for Brother Jerry and Sister Linda Phillips' daughter, Laura, will be tomorrow evening at the Appalachian Funeral Home. The visitation will be from 4 until 6. The service will be at 6. Public is invited to attend. If you'd care to do that, I'm sure they would like to see you and they would appreciate your attendance. So remember that. That's tomorrow evening from 4 to 6, the visitation, and the service will be at 6 at the Appalachian Funeral Home in Johnson City. So remember that. Visitors, if we have any today, we're so glad you're here. God bless you. Appreciate you showing up and being with us in service. All of our streamers, we want to say God bless our streamers.
God bless.
Give them a nice hand this morning, if you would. Praise the Lord. Brother Joel, while you're over there, would you mind to pray over the prayer request, my brother? You do that for me this morning.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Rock of ages, shed for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Lord, where else can we go? Troubles are great, but we found you to be our way in. You are our way out. You are our A to Z and everything in between. You're that gentle touch on that wound that still hurts. You are the doctor in the sick room. You are our lawyer in the courtroom. You are our all sufficiency. You complete who we are. Our identity is inextricably tied to you. So anything that we think that we are, anything that we have become, and anything that we will allow ourselves to be, we have to bring it back to you. So Lord, when we find ourselves sick, we call on the one who has already healed us. When we find ourselves oppressed, we find and call on the one who has already delivered us. When we find ourselves discouraged, we call on the one who is the lifter up of our heads. When our hearts are aching with grief, we call on the one who has already made a way for life. So we're tied into you, Lord. There's nothing else that we can do. These requests that are held in my hand and that fallen on the ears of people this day around the world, Lord, somebody's going to get a hold of your heart on one of these or two of these or all of these. And we're going to receive a praise report of what you've done in the lives of individuals. Sure, we're in the land now where COVID is running rapid and people are so afraid and they're not even sure what to do. They've told us to trust the science. We look to science and science shakes their heads. They don't know. They don't have answers, Father. Science can only go so far. But Lord, you're beyond all of that. And this telescope that they've sent out now, Lord, you're even further than the eye of that thing and what it can see. So Lord, we find our hope, our trust, our belief. Everything is in you, Lord. There's nowhere else we can go. There's nothing else we can do. So in this service this day, may we do everything that we can to extol you, to lift you up, to magnify you, to put you in the preeminent spot, to give you all the glory, all the praise. Forgive us where we failed you and where we haven't taken the full opportunity to let you have full course in our lives, oh God. We love you. Everything that's said and done, the minister, Lord, everything that's put forth for service for you, may it be anointed and bring you glory. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Joel. Let me sing, buddy. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him one more good hand clap of praise this morning. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. Oh, now this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy.
Give it.
Amen.
Oh.
That's a promise.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, whatsoever years may bring. Forsaken, still more closely to Him cling.
Oh, let's see now, church. We're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand.
Oh,
yes, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand.
God's unchanging hand. Eternal.
Let's hold
to God's unchanging hand.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You stay up here if you don't mind. Amen. So good to have all of you in the house of the Lord with us this morning. Brother Micah is going to come give us a song, and I believe his sister is here visiting, and they're going to sing together. I don't know how exactly they're going to do it, arrange it, but I know it's going to be good. Give those folks a nice hand as they come to sing for you this morning. Praise the Lord. He's way back there in the back, but he's coming this way. We're going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, we're going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, build your hopes on things eternal. Let's hold to God's unchanging hand. Give them a nice hand as they sing for you today.
Yeah. this morning.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Brother Micah, you know, just get her to move over here if you can. Just get her to move down here if you can, wherever she's from.
She's a good singer. We appreciate that. We enjoyed it this morning. Amen. Well, Brother Joel, get over there to the microphone. We're going to sing a little song this morning together, congregational. Could we stand as Brother Joe Harry gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord this morning? I didn't know exactly who was speaking today, and I went back there to make certain that I wouldn't announce the wrong person. And I'm not hardly ever done that in my life, I don't guess. But anyway, he said, "You're stuck with me this morning." I said, "Well, Brother Joe, it's a joy to have you to speak for us this morning. We love our ministry here, don't we?" We certainly do. Brother Daniel, we're going to sing "That Sounds Like Home to Me." If you can pull that up on the screen, we'll sing just a little bit of that this morning as Brother Joe gets ready to come. More and more as we travel here in this old life, this world gets more putrefied every day. It's a sore boil. We're living in Satan's Eden. But I'm so glad right here in Satan's Eden that God's got a victorious people. God's got a people that loves him more than they love life itself. I'm one of them. How about you this morning? What's the rest of you think about it? Are you one of them this morning? Give him one more good hand clap of praise this morning. And that sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to deal our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of his grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home.
Just across the Jordan River.
Yes, there is. Amen.
There's a place of everlasting joy and peace. The tree of life is blooming there forever.
Thank you, Lord.
And the crown of waiting there for
you, Lord.
Me.
Let's sing about it.
And that sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with
the snow.
The saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
Praise the Lord. Brother Joe Harris, give him a nice hand this morning.
I now? Well, to fill my lot again this morning, I think I was told Brother Jimmy a while ago, 13 years ago this month, I preached my first sermon here. Wow. It don't get any easier. I snuck out the back door and Brother Andy Blevins run me back in. So it's an honor. It's going home time. Amen. You know, I was thinking when they were singing that song, sounds like home to me. But Wes, he said that to you. He said that about you. Satan told him, why would you want to live in there? They're full of dirt, full of human nature, bitterness. And he said, that sounds like home to me. I want to read a quote here. I'm calming my nerves, I guess. I read a quote several years ago. I think I sent it to Brother Donnie, I don't know, about 8 or 9 years ago. And Jennifer found it the other day and read it back to me, and I wanted to read it to you if you got a minute. Brother Branham said, in spirit of truth, this was 3 months before the seals. And then from there on, 600 miles, the way the crow flies, there's not even a path or a trail. And when you hit the West Coast, you go about 800 miles to Vancouver. There's not even a speck of civilization. The next civilization is going this way is Anchorage, and about 700-800 miles go back this way. You run into the little city, Yellowknife, where you get a ship in there once a year for the Eskimos. Next, you hit Russia. So you're really to yourself. That's where God takes his rest. Up there, from all of our troubles and our trials that we put him through. But Bram said, I like to go up there and talk to him while he's resting. Two things I thought of when I heard that quote was, how in the world did Brother Branham know where God went to rest? Second thought was, how many times have I sent him there? How many times has my failures, my mistakes, God said, I need a break from Joe Hara? Food for thought. We can go home now. So, if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians. We're going to read two scriptures before we're seated. Philippians 3, 17 through 21. Then we're going to read Genesis 2 and 7. Brother Donnie texted me Monday and asked me to take the service. I started studying. I had already had a thought for the future, future service for the young people. And then I had a thought spin off of that one, so I've been studying that one this week. A little background on this sermon that I got here. I preached this sermon on the road somewhere back in the summer. I had originally titled it From Dust to Glory, and then I changed the title from When Dust Met Glory. And then Brother Donnie preached, and I wanted to preach it here. I didn't get the opportunity at the time. And then Brother Donnie preached Sister Naomi's Celebration of Life, and he titled his From Dust to Glory. So I thought, you know what, that's confirmation for me. But then I just started another sermon the Lord gave me. I was studying it this week, and then yesterday morning I woke up real early in the morning and never could go back to sleep, and this sermon just kept pounding and pounding in my heart. So I didn't scrap what I was studying, but I did go to this. So title of it is When Dust Met Glory. Philippians 3. Brethren, 17 through 21, I'm sorry. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often. And now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies. This is the subject we're taking, the scripture we're taking from, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to unto himself. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful and so honored for the opportunity, Lord, to come sit under your word, Lord. Lord, to place our feet under heaven's table, as it were, Lord, to feast on the things that you would have for us. Lord, we're all hungry this morning. We all need to hear from you. We all need of you, Lord. Lord, we've come here together. There's no special remedy for you to come and meet with us this morning, Lord. It's plain and simple. You said where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst, Father. Lord, if we can take anything in our minds, anything that would hinder us, Lord, from receiving, Lord, for just the next half hour to an hour, Lord, if we could push it out the back doors. Don't let anything hinder us from receiving what you have for us this morning, Lord. Lord, we feel your wonderful presence here this morning. We're so grateful, Father, that you would even feel like you would come sit among us, Father. We thank you for that. Bless the word, Lord. Help me to get out of the way. Lord, help them to get out of the way. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. In the verses there, 21 in Philippians 3, it says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? That's a promise. If you're a child of God, you have a promise that this vile body will be fashioned one day as his glorious body. Amen. So I look at the words vile. Low estate, humiliation, lowness. Leading one to perceive and lament his moral littleness or guilt. Basically, you're nothing. You're little. You're dirty. There's nothing clean about you. The Bible says your righteousness in God's eyes is as filthy rags. So you have a vile body. But the promise is that we will have a body fashioned like under his glorious body. And glorious means majesty. A thing belonging to God. The absolute, perfect, inward, or personal excellency of Christ. Talk about a contrast. This is the body that you have. Satan doesn't want you to catch a revelation of that scripture. Satan wants you to focus on how you are right now. He wants you to focus on your mistakes. He wants you to consider yourself nothing. He wants you to look at yourself as the least in the kingdom. As I was telling Brother Jimmy a while ago, you know, as the queen of heaven, there's no such thing as the least. If you're the bride, there is no least. There is no least. You're not the lowest person in the bride. If you are a bride of Christ, a member of the bride of Christ, each individual is God's favorite. So looking at yourself as the least, looking at yourself as dirt, as dust, you are helping Satan with his work. That's his job. And he does it for free. He don't care. He loves it. So when I was studying this, and you know, when I put it on my heart, I began to see how Satan wants us to get to focus on that. The failures and our faults and stuff. You know, so let's back up to back to Genesis. When God said, let there be light. When God said, let there be light, You were the thing, reason why he said, let there be light. God's main purpose was to live in you. That was his greatest desire. And that desire pushed him to say, let there be light. Brother Branham said, and I got a quote here. Oh, Future Home. I'm sorry. Future Home. You were made for an eternal purpose because you was the manifestation of attribute that was in God. That thought of you and expressed you. And he made an earth to take you out of, to make a human being. And sin come along and perverted his way. You come anyhow. But you was lost with the world. So he came and redeemed you, the expressed attribute, and also redeems by the same way. His purpose rolls on. So he created an earth to take you out of. The thought, Brother Branham, we always hear Brother Branham talking about the back of God's mind, the thoughts that you were, when God said, let there be, and that you was in his thoughts. His thoughts were his, then when he spoke it, that was his thoughts expressed. You're an expression of God's thoughts. So when he said, let there be, and he had you in his mind, there had to be some way that he could create you. So Brother Branham says, he made an earth. He didn't make an earth just so he could have an earth. He made an earth to take you out of. He made an earth so he could pull those 16 elements out. You know, in studying this, I got to reading on Melchizedek. You know, when you look at Melchizedek, you know, growing up, we had the, my mom and dad had the reel-to-reel players, you know. We had a little single-wide trailer. We played reel-to-reels. I heard, who is this Melchizedek growing up? I heard it in church on Wednesday nights. Heard it, I don't know, countless many times. And I always thought, you know, when Brother Branham described how Jesus went down, when God went down to meet with Abraham, how he took those 16 elements up and breathed life into him and he stepped into a body. I thought, what a body that had to be. What a body. No sin. God will never touch sin. He'll never touch sin. That's why he left Jesus in the garden. Brother Branham said, it's why he left him. A holy God will never touch sin. So this is a body. God speaks to the elements. He throws the elements up in the air and he breathes life into them and he steps into them. And here comes God in this body called Melchizedek. Perfection. Amen. This body of Melchizedek was perfect. And it didn't satisfy God. This flesh body called Melchizedek did not fulfill God's desire to live in human flesh. Amen. As perfect as it was. God loves, we hear the scripture, God loved I can't even think, John 3:16, that he gave his life for all. He loved everybody. Amen. He could have spent the rest of his life, eternity, living in this body of Melchizedek, and thought, you know, this is great. But his love for dirt, his love for dust, he loved man so much that he wanted all men to be saved. 1 Timothy says 2:2-4, who will all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He loved them all. Brother Branham said he loved Cain. He loved Cain. He loved the rich young ruler. Why in the world would he go to the rich young ruler knowing that he was bound for hell and offered him eternal life? The Bible says he loved Cain. This is how much God loves man. Some of the people that we shun that might not have eternal life. Well, they're not bride. I'm not wasting my time on them. God did. Amen. Jesus did. He looked upon a man he knew was going to hell. He looked at this dust body. Glory walks up to a dust body bound for hell. And the Bible says he loved him. Amen. God thought it was significant enough to put it in the Bible. Yeah. That he loved a man bound for hell. Good preaching. If that love ever gets in here. That same love gets in here. It'll change the way we treat other dust. It'll change the way we treat other people, the way we look at other people, the way we talk about people, the way we backbite other people. It'll change all of that. You know, just because you say, well, I've got my faults. Some people accept their faults. Oh, well, I'm human. Why would you do that? Why would a son and daughter, somebody claims to have Christ living in here, accept your faults? That's just what, you know, I'm human. Brother Brandon said, we're going to be human until we get out of here. They also said, keep eating the word to get as much human out of there as you can. But he loved. He loved us so much. You know, you look at Jesus on the cross. You need to look at Jesus on the cross. Those people that crucified him, he loved them. He forgave them. You know, with that kind of love, John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, that's a great love that man could have. That's the greatest love you and I could have. If we could lay down our life for somebody. God's love goes beyond that. God's love gives his son. There's not a father in here that has love enough for somebody else to say, okay, I'll give up my son for his place. Human love can't comprehend that. Dust can't comprehend that. It takes glory. We can't comprehend the way that God loves. You know, as I was saying earlier, we look at ourselves. Satan gets in it, and it happens. Satan's going to get you to look at your faults and failures. You're human. You're right. When you say that, you know, I'm human, but you're right. But take that I'm human with another attitude. You know, you're like I was telling Brother Jimmy a while ago, from a millisecond before the rapture takes place, you'll probably make a mistake. It's human nature. You're clothed in this flesh. There's nothing you can do about that. But trust God. He saw you in a dirty state. Just rotten dust of the earth. But he loved you enough to predestinate you before the foundation of the world. We can't comprehend God's love. You know, like I said, sometimes we focus on our faults. And that's Satan's job. Satan, when you get up in the morning, when you put your feet on the ground, you put your shoes on, you start your day. Satan starts his. On you. His job is to, now he's not going out here to the people that are bound for hell, don't know the message and all that. He don't care. He don't care about them. You are his job. If you're a child of God, you have the Holy Ghost, you are Satan's job. So his job is to get you to look at yourself. He's going to get you to look at yourself in two ways. He's going to make you look at your faults. He's going to get you to say, I'm the least. People that feel like they're the least, sometimes it's just a burden on them. I feel like I can't do good enough. I feel like I can't do nothing. I can't help anybody. I've got so much fault in my life. I've got so many scars in my life. I've got things happening in my life. And that's all you focus on. You're not focusing on prayer. You're not focusing on getting in the Word. Anytime you get those feelings inside, if Satan gets those feelings inside of you, he gets you thinking about how bad you are, all the faults that you have, all the scars in your life that puts bitterness in there. Go pray. Go read your Bible. Go put it on a tape. Go read the Word. Anything to turn his switch off. Because those are the things he don't want you to do. He wants you to feel like you're going to remain dust. You already had a union with glory. When you received the Holy Ghost, dust and glory met. There was a union. He wants you to forget about that. Because even though you have the Holy Ghost, that don't mean you're not going to have those thoughts. That doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. You're not going to make failures. Right. But that's his job. If we can get that in our minds and focus, hey, this is just Satan's job. I don't have to worry about it. He's doing his job. Don't help him do his job. Amen. The second way, if he can't get you with your faults and failures, he'll make you think how awesome you are. We laugh, but that's the truth. He'll make you think you're the best Christian in the church. He'll make you think that you know the word from front to back, and nobody can tell you any different. If you're a preacher, he'll make you think that people got healed because you prayed for them. You're not somebody because God gave you a gift. God gives gifts to all. Because you're the best known preacher. You're the best singer. You're the best songwriter. Best musician. Satan will make you focus on that. You want to see what people think of the most time? Go look at the social media. Look at the one that's all about them. That's the truth. But see, that's Satan doing his job. If he can do anything, if he can keep you focused on COVID, if he can keep you focused on politics and the things of the world, keep your mind focused on that instead of focusing on who you really are in Christ. He's doing his job. You know, we'll say that, you know, we're at the end time. That becomes a cliche now in the message. We're at the end time. We're almost through. But our mind is not there. Our hearts are not there. Instead of focusing on this, we're focusing on everything else in our life. Dust gathers more dust. And it begins to cover up glory after a while. They're not saying there's no union between the dust and the glory. Not saying that at all. Glory's still there. It's waiting to manifest itself. But you have to feed it. You have to discard anything that Satan puts in your mind. Amen. You know, God wants you to that glory to be manifested in your life, on your jobs. Young people, when you go to school, when you go to college, when you go to work, wherever you go, let that glory be on display. Let it be in your conversation. Let it be in the way you dress. Let it be in the way you walk. You don't have to be dust to everybody. You can be glory. I jumped a little ahead on there. We'll get more into that in a minute. But just because we make mistakes and failures, God don't discard us. What do you usually do with dust? You usually wipe it up and throw it away. What if God did that to us? For our mistakes and our failures. Look at the people that made mistakes and failures through the Bible. What if God had wrote them off then? David committed adultery, murdered a man. Moses murdered a man. He got the pride part. Hey, I'm the deliverer. I'm the deliverer. I'm going to do it my way. How did that work out for him? His dust got swept into the backside of the desert for 40 years. He had to come to Jesus meeting with glory for about 40 years. Peter, he cursed. Denied Christ. I don't know him. I'm not part of him. You know, if we look at that, that didn't bother God's plan for them one bit. It didn't change God's plan. God didn't think, I've messed up somewhere. I thought Peter was going to be the rock. Instead, he's just a piece of dust. It didn't mess up God's plan. God didn't change it. When David was going to bring the lineage of Christ. What if God said, nope, I'm going to find somebody else now. An adulterer, a murderer. What if God said, well, he's manifesting his true dirt. I can't use that. And in our lives sometimes, we make our mistakes, our failures, and then we get to the point where Satan gets us thinking God can't use me. I've made too many mistakes. There's no way back for me. I've done so much. If God turns you away because of your mistakes and your failures, he'd have to go back and repent for every one of these that he let through. On a sermon I was studying for the future, I don't want to give too much on it, but look at Rahab. Talking about a pile of dirt. Her own profession showed what she was. God says, that's where I want my glory to come, right through her. She was in a city that God said, I hate it. I'm going to destroy it all. It's in my way. The seed of life was in there. In all her filthiness, all her dirt, everything that she was, God said, I'm going to take my glory right through that prostitute. So when you think you're too little, when you think your mistakes, you think your pile of dirt, and God's given you the Holy Ghost, she didn't even have that. Glory wasn't manifested to her. You get to the point in your life when Satan has talked you in to quit moving. He's talked you into fulfilling your place as a piece of dirt. Remember Rahab. Remember David. Moses. Peter. Samson. Adam. Eve. God never gave them the Holy Ghost. They had to kill animals every year. Every year. And that only lasted for a year. Your sins are wiped away eternally. Eternally. And you keep bringing them up. You keep bringing them up. God says, you look at yourself as dirt. I look at you as my glory. And here you bringing up the faults of the dirt. You're bringing up the faults and the failures of the dust, and you keep looking at them. It's a sobering thought sometimes, the way we think. Brother Branham said the greatest battle ever fought is in the human mind. Now when this sermon's over, I know we're not going to walk out the door and have it licked. I'm going to fight him when I go out the back door. But it's his grace. It's his grace. But Bram said, God's only provided a place of worship. He had in his heart before the foundation of the world a son because he is a father. But it was still in the genes of his word. He created a man and had to put him on free moral agency because that man failed. But the great sculpture, God, who made man from the dust of the earth, he didn't settle for that. He started making man again. I'm so glad he did. He made a Noah. He died drunk. He made a Moses that failed to keep his word. He made prophets that run in a time of trouble. He kept building and molding until after a while, he wanted a masterpiece to reflect him. What was in his heart, what a son should be. You know, when we look at listen to the masterpiece. You know, we keep thinking in our mind that Christ was that masterpiece, and he was. But that masterpiece had become in you. The life of Christ lived in you is the masterpiece. It's not your life. If the Holy Ghost is living through you, it's not you. It's Christ living in you. It's the masterpiece living through you. But you thought God would never want you. And some still think that. But Bram said, why we are not a denomination. Then before there was one speck of life on this earth, our bodies were laying here. Before one drop of moisture ever come to the earth, we were laying here. That's where God pulled you out of. That's when he said God created an earth to take you out of. You were already there. When Adam walked up and down the Garden of Eden, I was laying here. Amen. Yes, sir. Oh, glory. When the cherubims, the morning stars sang together and sons of God shouted for joy, I was laying here just waiting for the breath of life to come. I was here. He made me here, had my body laying here. Yes, sir. If it wasn't, where'd it come from? How did it get here? God had it laying here. God made it. We're made out of 16 elements, petroleum, potash, and a cosmic light. What was God wanting to make? What was he wanting to make? A dwelling place. A place where he could dwell. You know, when he created Adam in the garden, he didn't live inside Adam. Adam was formed in the spirit of God. The image of God was the spirit. God created the dust of the earth, breathed life, took a rib, created Adam, created Eve. God would come down and meet with him in the garden. But Adam was not the full manifestation of God in human flesh. Right? So God wanted to dwell inside man, though. A dwelling place. What is a dwelling place? It's a house. A house to dwell in. You know, I was thinking, when I was studying this, I got to thinking, you know, married couples, you know, they get married and they want to buy a house. They want to build a house. And they get this book out of house plans. And they start looking at these plans. Oh, I like this one. I love this one. They want to build their dream house. You're God's dream house. Before the foundation of the world, he opens his book and he starts going down through here. Oh, I like this one. I like this one's called West Willis. This is the one I want to live in right here. This one's called Joel Brown. I can't wait. Gabriel, come look at this house. Michael, God got excited. Not when you received the Holy Ghost. God got excited with the thought of you in his mind before the foundation of the world. God got excited that he knew that he could take dust of the earth and build himself a dwelling place and live in it. So when you took your first breath of life as dust, when you came forth, the dirt that you are came forth from the ground, which is your mother, God put down a deposit. He put a deposit down. When you go buy a house, you put a deposit down. God said, this one's mine. When he breathed his life into you, he put a deposit on you. From that moment on, you belong to him. Whether you knew it or not, you might have went 40 years as a piece of dust with no glory in you. But God said, that is mine. So when deposit was put, construction began. Construction began in your life. They had building parties on Sunday, on Wednesday, on Saturday night. Nails were being driven. God likes a variety. He likes all different color siding. He likes white siding. He likes black siding. He likes brown siding. He likes black shingles, gray shingles. Brother Aaron, he likes tin roofs. Sorry, buddy. He's a God of variety. So when we get to the point where we start degrading ourselves, remember, you're talking about God's house. You're talking about God's dwelling place. Now, just remember, whenever he was going through that book, looking for a dream house, when he came across you, if your name's on the Lamb's Book of Life, when he came across your name, he didn't skip and think, well, I'll come back to that. You were his first choice. You were his first choice. He didn't have to go shopping around. There was something about you. When he looked at you, he looked at himself. He said, that's where I want to live. That's where I want to be. You know, we look at that, you know, so many times, you know, a house takes on the characteristics of its owners. House takes on the characteristic of its inhabitants. You got people that don't like to bathe, don't care how they look, how they dress. You're going to see it in their house. If they're trashy, their house is trashy. If God lives in you, you'll take on the characteristics of God, because God is your inhabitant. You know, there's so many things that come with the inhabitant of God in your life. Everything he has is yours. Everything God has is yours. Peace, joy, right? Love, healing is yours. You know, sometimes I wonder, why do we not get these things? If this inhabitant is living in you, why are we not getting the things that come with that? Why are we not getting the peace? Why do we not have the joy? Why do we not have the healing? You know, we ask for things in our life so many times, and we wonder why it don't happen. We wonder why the things in our life don't happen. Why aren't we getting healed? Why ain't I getting the financial need that I have? Why I've been praying for my son, he's lost. I've been praying for this matter, for this. Why is it not happening? You know, I read a quote. Be not afraid. In 61, Abraham said, your faith don't go very far. Your faith. He said, but it's God's faith. You know, in another place, he said, your faith only goes so far, then God's faith takes over. Is God's faith taken over? And when he said what God's faith does, I read this to Brother Jimmy a while ago. What does God's faith, when I was reading this, I expected to hear, you can have anything you want, anything you ask for. But that ain't what Brother Branham said. When you have God's faith, it makes you love everybody. So maybe you're not getting what you asked for because you don't love everybody. God wants his faith to drop in there, but he has no room for it. You haven't made him room. We don't love everybody. Where has forgiveness gone? If this vile body, if this vile body is going to be changed into his glorious body, if we're on a journey to that, there has to be glory living in here. There has to be an inhabitant of glory in here. And those attributes will show forth. We can't forgive people. Somebody wrongs us some way, we hold an ought against them. You see, Brother Joe, you don't understand what they've done to me. I'll grant it, you're right. But I'll tell you what, I will say you're justified. If you can top this, Jesus is hanging on a cross, forgiving people that went to hell and loved every one of them. If somebody has done that to you, then you're justified. But if that has never happened to you, you're not. You've got no reason whatsoever to not forgive somebody.
Amen.
None. Well, they've talked about me. They've run my name down. They've robbed from me. They've done this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And then you want to run them down. You have an ought against them, and you want all your friends to have an ought against them. What happened to the situation where it's just a man between a man and two people have an ought against each other? It's between them two. But we want people on our sides. I don't know why this is going this way, but it's going this way. We want people on our side. We want people to see it our way and tell everybody else. It's all about forgiveness. I'll guarantee you start forgiving people, God will bless you more. Brother Branham said in 54, the word became flesh. Be kind to your enemies. Love everybody no matter what they done. Love them anyhow. That's as simple as it gets. You say, Brother Joe, there's things in my life. I've got scars, the way people treated me and all that. I get it. I can't put myself in your shoes. I'm not going to try. I can just tell you what it says. There's a lot of people, you know, that Jesus got his scars. Jesus has got scars. You know, this flesh, there's people, you know, that have been through things in their life. I can't say I understand. I've learned that from the police department. And Tony could tell you, when you go to a place where people have died or committed suicide or things happen, you don't tell them, I understand. You tell them, you know, I feel for you. Because you don't. Because there's going to come a point where some of them's going to say, oh, really? You understand? Tell me about your problem. But I can't understand. And I know people have been hurt. People have so many things in their life. But just remember. Just remember this. There's not a thing in your life. There's not a thing that this dirt, flesh, body that you live in, that he didn't take. God dumped it on him in the garden. God had already left him. So Jesus was there as a pile of dirt. The glory left him. Just human flesh, 16 elements. That's all Jesus was in the garden when God left him. Every scar that you have, every issue, fault, failure, mistake. If one person in here, we could just take and look at our own sins. Look at everything I've done. And I think, Lord, if you put everything I've done in a lifetime on Jesus, the entire world, from Adam to the last person, it was dumped on him. Do you think he wanted him? He said, not my will. I said, Father, please let this cup pass from me. He didn't want it. But if he didn't take it, there's no way that your vile body was ever going to receive a glorious body. If he didn't take it. So everything was dumped on him. We made him filthy. We made him dirty. He was kicked, he was beat, he was slapped, he was punched, he was humiliated, he was hung up stark naked. Brother Branham said he was stripped. And we want to gripe and complain about our little shortcomings, our problems, our troubles. I'll try to hurry. '64, the future home. But Abraham said, what did Jesus do? God came down and expressed himself in the form of a man, a human being. Gave his life instead of staying here, which he was the king. But he gave himself to redeem the rest. You get it? And when it's all over, it's pulled right back. God's purpose is fulfilled. There is the eternal king again with his eternal subject expressed in human flesh. Exactly. The way he had it. Sin is took away. The devil is gone. It's all done now. God made a way through ultimate sacrifice to join dust and glory. Without that sacrifice, human race would have been gone. We'd still, if time had to go on, we'd still be killing sheep. We'd still be killing lambs. But God made a way through ultimate sacrifice. There's several times in the Bible that Jesus' glory and dust come together. Face to face. We read of dust crawled up behind glory and touched the hem of his garment. Glory made the dust whole. We don't ever hear of her name again. We don't know who she is. Glory called dust out of the grave for 4 days. Glory cast 2,000 demons out of dust and set him free. dust lay by the pool of Shalom for 38 years. Till glory came by one day.
Amen.
There was union of dust and glory. When we talk of that, this did not give them eternal life. Casting 2,000 demons out of Legion did not give him eternal life. Raising Lazarus from the dead didn't give him eternal life. He had to have another resurrection. Thy house in 61. This Holy Spirit that's in me now will see to it, and I have a young immortal body and never go with. The Holy Spirit that's in you will see that these gray hairs fade away. And whatever it is in you in the old age, if you're so old, whiskers down and walking like that, it don't make no difference, no one bit of difference. That same Holy Spirit will snap it right back at that day. Just a young man and woman. That's the Bible, that's right. The Spirit that's in us now, right now. Not one that will come. The one that's in us now. It's God in you and He will raise. You can raise yourself up. Why can't you do it now? Because there's Scripture holding you. And you got to wait till the rapture. When I was younger, we've all believed some weird things. I used to think that when you died and this body was put in the grave, your soul went to God. Okay, devil, you can have the dirt back. We've all believed outlandish things. That's mine. But you know, as I got older, you know, when Brother Donnie, I'd asked Brother Donnie one time, because I said, where did Brother Branham say that, you know, we would raise ourselves up? And he sent me a couple quotes. You know, I got to thinking, that makes so much sense. It makes all the sense in the world. Why would God let Satan have this dust back when this dust carried God around for so long? Glory inhabited this. Satan won't get one atom of it. He don't get one cell. You know, we think of Brother Jim Babb, Sister Naomi, Brother Jerry Glenn, Brother Gene, different ones that's passed on. You know, they're in the dirt. Satan can't have one atom, one cell of them. Brother Branham said, if you die here, and you take on your theophany comes back and calls your body out.
Amen.
You call it out. You say, come with me. How in the world do you think you're going to get a glorious body? This body. The Scripture says this body, this vile body, will be changed into a glorious body.
Amen.
It didn't say your theophany would be changed into a glorious body. It said this body. So I always wondered, you know, why would we give... throw this in the dirt, in the grave, and Satan gets to keep that. He don't get one cell of it. God says, you'll not touch it. You'll not have any of it. But you'll get to come back and call your body from the grave. To me, that's a kick in Satan's face. You're not getting any of it. You've tried to get it for years. You've battled this body for years. And then when death takes hold and puts you in the ground, he thinks he's won. He still can't get you.
Amen.
It doesn't matter that even that the Holy Ghost is gone and you took up your theophany. It doesn't matter that it's just a shell of dust laying there. He can't touch it. That's a promise.
Amen.
The ever-present water from the rock. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to ask you something. Then if we were born again of the Spirit of God, God don't have little weak parts and big strong parts. That's like I said a while ago, there's no least. There's no little me's, big you's, big me's, little you's, whatever you call it. God don't have no big weak parts and strong parts. He is altogether God. If you had enough of God in you till it was just barely a shadow, that's enough power to make an earth. That's enough power to make a new moon and a new system. It's God and it's strong. And right now, every believer in here has life eternal, which is God's Spirit in you. That's God dwelling in you. That's the inhabitant. Enough power that will raise up the dead and that will heal the sick, that will set orbits and conditions. But you, it's controlled by law and that spirit that's in you. You are sons and daughters of God. That same spirit that you've got in you will raise yourself up at the day of resurrection. And who is this Melchizedek? If you have died and entered into that theophany, the theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. If you're here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany. He don't get any of it.
Amen.
Satan can do his best, put me in the grave. If it's my time to go, I'll go willingly. And you know, when you look at the times nowadays, it's almost like you're, hurry up, Lord. Get me in. If I have to go by the way of the grave, you know, you want it to end. Everything's corrupt. You got diseases. Before one disease is over, they got another one coming.
Yeah.
They got vaccinations. You got to be vaccinated. You don't got to be vaccinated. Whatever. I don't care. If you want to get vaccinated, get vaccinated. If you don't, don't. That's it. But look at the politics. This economy and the politics in this country is more corrupt now than it's ever been.
Yeah.
But yet God wanted Biden. Like it or leave it. God didn't make a mistake. I didn't vote for him. God did. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. He does make me want to get out of here quicker though. But I, you know, when you look at that, you look at the times that we're living in. You know, you hear, you know, the big volcano down there in Tonga, wherever was that? And they're talking about now that how that volcano could trigger earthquakes on up the West Coast. You know, we're there. Brother Donnie sent me a thing the other day where Russia's now threatening to move missile sites right on the U.S. border up there near Alaska. If something is not done with Biden. So, we're here. My prayer for myself, my family, is to let that inhabitant, that glory rule this dust. Let it rule it. You know, you're going to go to work. You're going to go to school. You're going to college. You're going to go do your sports. You're going to do whatever you do on your daily basis. You're going to be a housewife. You're going to be whatever you're going to be. But whatever you're being in that, let that glory live. Let it live. I mean, let that be your sole purpose when you wake up in the morning. Let somebody see the glory in this dust. Because this is dust. You're not all glory, despite what some people think. You're not God. You're not God. But God says, I'll live through you.
Amen.
There's humility that comes with that, in case you didn't know.
Yes.
One day down on Jordan, after that masterpiece had formed and made here, he come down on the wings of a dove. This is him. He was so enthused with his masterpiece until he struck him on Calvary that he would die. For the rest of us was imperfect. That's why he died, because we were imperfect. Does that mean we're perfect now? Crickets. How many believes you're perfect? I hope you figure it out before you leave. If Christ lives in you, you're perfect. That's all God sees, is Christ's perfection in you. So you're perfect dust. So some of you house cleaners, there is perfect dust. He was so enthused with his masterpiece until he struck him on Calvary that he would die. For the rest of us was imperfect. That through the shedding of his blood, he might bring many masterpieces. Being a bride to his son, masterpiece is scarred because the enthusiasm of God to see such a masterpiece. He struck him for us all. There he died to perfect we who are imperfect. If you think you're imperfect, he died in vain. Brother Branham said he died to perfect we who are imperfect. I'm going to take you one step further. Souls that are in prison, 63. A man must be born again. This nature has to die. This dust nature has to die. We got to quit looking at our faults, our failures, our mistakes, looking at everything that we do and focusing on that. That nature has to die. And the nature of God comes and lives in you. If the God, nature of God is living in you, you're not focusing on all your mistakes and failures. Because God don't see those. Why do we focus so hard on something that God says never happened? Why? That's just a dust nature. I understand that. But when we make mistakes and we fail, and we just, everything in our being just zoom goes, focuses on that, nothing else. God don't see it. God is the only thing that never did begin or never can end. So therefore, he has partnershiped. That is a word now. Has partnershiped, you see, and taken this man, this dust, earthly, and this eternal spirit, which is the glory, and put it together. Because God reflected himself back in that. God reflected himself back in the dust. And that he became a man when he became Christ Jesus. And he was God. God was in Christ that, see, lived in him, reconciling the world to himself. And through that perfect man, each one of us imperfect that believe in God has accepted that, we become the perfection of him. Amen. You're God's perfection. God says, I need perfection. You're it. Dust, dirt. Came into the world speaking lies. And if we look at the way the scripture describes ourselves, we came into the world speaking lies, full of iniquity. God says, you're my perfection. Let's stand together. How many times we don't understand the things we go through. I don't understand it. I do understand human nature. I do understand dust because I live in a dust body. A lot of times I don't understand the glory part as much. Amen. God, why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? Sometimes it's God doing remodeling on this dream house. That's what it is. He's doing remodel. He's updating. You got some shingles come loose. Got some windows need replaced. It's a constant work. You know, like I say, I don't understand it all. I do know that if I trust him, if I trust him in my daily walk, sometimes this dust tries to focus on the things around me instead of the focus of what's in me. But one of these days, you know, you say, I don't understand why so-and-so had to leave to whatever. I don't understand it. I don't understand it either. But I'm trusting him. Amen. This dust will one day have a glorious body. But see, the deal is, God's not waiting till you get on the other side. He's working on that glorious body right now. He has moved in. If you have the Holy Ghost, dust and dirt and glory have made a union. Amen. You know what? I've seen Brother Louie and everybody else put Brother Joel Brown on the spot a lot. I'm going to do it today. Sorry, Brother Joel. I want him to sing a song he hasn't sang in a long time. You sing farther along for us. I got to thinking of that song back there. I don't understand. Why I go through things I go through sometimes. God has an answer for me. I might get that answer on the other side. I might not get it here. We ask God why all the time. Why this happened? Why I got to do this? Sometimes he says, you'll understand it later. And then when the whole picture is fully revealed, you'll understand. So I'm going to go on day by day in this dust. And I hope to God, by grace, when I step out them back doors right there, I can trust in the glory to get me through my day. Lord, make me a better person. Help me quit focusing on others' faults and failures. Help me to forgive more. Help me to, when somebody else wrongs me, instead of backbiting, go and telling somebody else about it, get on my knees and say, Lord, please forgive them. And if it's me, may they forgive me. Go ahead, Brother Joel.
Let's do it this way first. Father, alone will no harm about it. Father, alone will understand why. So cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We're gonna understand it. Oh, by and by. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone, we're gonna understand why. So cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Sunshine, because I'll understand it all by and by. Ooh, tempted and tried, we're awfully to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. Though in the wrong, oh Father, alone we'll know all about it. Amen. Father, alone we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother and my sister. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder, Father, why others prosper? Living so wicked year after year. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone I'm gonna understand why. So I cheer up my brother and my sister. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Oh, Father, alone we'll
Father, along we're gonna understand why. Cheer up my brother and my sister, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Father, along we're gonna know all about it. Father, Lord, we'll understand why. Cheer up my brother and my sister, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Did you enjoy the word of the Lord this morning? Amen. I certainly appreciate that message. We needed that this morning, didn't we? Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to have service here, Lord willing, again Wednesday night. You just come expecting something from the Lord. He never disappoints. He never disappoints. Let's sing this just before we get ready to go this morning. Be friendly. Shake hands. Give somebody a smile. Tell them you love them in the Lord. You appreciate them. You're praying for them. Might mean something to somebody. Might not mean much to you, but it would mean something to somebody to let them know you're caring about them. Amen. I saw where my brother here, I can't think of his name now, Sister Joy's husband. What's your name? Stuart, Brother Stuart. Just blessed my heart the other day that he'd been sick, very sick. And just blessed my heart that the Lord has touched our brother and made him able to work again. That just, Brother Stuart just reached out and touched my heart, buddy. I'm thankful for that, for you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. All of you going through something, but we're going to make it together. Amen? Amen? Let's sing this as we leave today. God bless you. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. He looked beyond my fault, and he saw my need. Are you glad that that happened to you? Amen. Let's sing it, if you will. That's probably a little bit high, brother. Sing it for me. Ever lift mine eyes to Calvary.
I shall.